So in your notes, we're going to start right out in your notebooks on page 42.
44?
Cash register. 42. There is a story called The Cash Register. And this is our pretest for doing the meta model, okay? So this is your assignment. It's a I think it's four sentences about a cash register. You read the story about the cash register and then come through and decide for your answer. Is on question number one, is that true? Is that false? Or the question mark is, I don't know enough. I can't answer it. I would have to ask more questions. So all three are legitimate answers. Read the story, and you can look back at the story as you do it. Answer the questions about the cash register, and then we'll find out where you are in terms of your pre-knowledge of how to use language. Now, when you finish, I would invite you to turn to someone sitting close by you and compare your answers. And if you have different answers, talk about why you marked what you marked, okay? So just a couple of minutes to discuss, do your answers match somebody else's answers about this? Are some of you finding your answers are different than the other person's? Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah, and when they describe why they answered it in a certain way, does that give you more information and start you thinking? Well, you know, Tim and I found this even before we knew NLP. We had a training company together, and we discovered this little tool and started using it in trainings, and people would get in almost knock-down, drag-out arguments with each other. And we didn't understand why, because we hadn't learned the meta model yet. But it was really interesting that people will defend their answer to the end. And people used to say to me, well, would it be different if I couldn't look back at the story? It wouldn't be any different. And why do you think that is? What is the function of language when you think about it? When you're hearing somebody speak words or you're reading words, what does language get you to do?
Help you understand.
Create a meaning. How does it do that?
Share perspective.
So it, for most people, it gets you making pictures. Internal pictures of what you are hearing or what you're reading about. And you know, there's a little area in the brain called the reticular activating system. It's the RAS, okay? And I like to talk about it because it's really interesting to know this exists. It's one of the big words I know. The reticular activating system. And what it is, it's like an area in the brain that is like a set of filters that lets things in or pushes things out, keeps things out. It helps you decide what to pay attention to. So this is how it works. How many of you have ever decided to buy a new car? Yeah? And all of a sudden, you let the idea of a new car into your reticular activating system. And you notice, especially if you're considering like a Subaru or a Honda or something, all of those kinds of cars on the highway, that you didn't notice so many people were driving. They're all over the place. Or you put your house up for sale, and all of a sudden, you notice all the for sale signs that are everywhere. So once you let something into your filter system, you will sort for it. You will notice where it exists. Whereas if you haven't let it through your filter, you may not pay any attention at all. I'm just astounded when maybe I go to somebody's house I've been to many, many times, and I go, oh, is that a new picture on your wall? It's been there for 10 years, and I've been there over and over, and I never noticed it. And then I feel kind of silly. How could that happen? Well, somehow I didn't put it in my filter, so I didn't notice it until, oh, there it is all of a sudden. So because we all have that set of filters in our brain, and guess what? Everybody's filter will be totally different from the person sitting next to them. We either let information in or we exclude it. And because the function of language is to help us make internal images and have internal dialogue to ourselves and access certain feelings, everybody will do it slightly different. So the reason this little instrument is so powerful is once you start reading something and you put images in your reticular activating system, it's really hard to get them out. So it's like your initial impression and what you put up there is usually what will stick. And sometimes, even if you get additional information, you go, oh, it's really hard for me to change that initial picture I put in there. So that's why this little exercise is so fun. Nancy?
It seems like, you know, in this story, it was kind of vague.
Oh,
so
really?
So you can put your own picture in it. But it just seems like, depending on your purpose in your business or whatever, sometimes you would want it vague so people put their own picture in, and sometimes you want to paint it for them.
Absolutely. And so when you want it vague so they can put their own pictures in, you use the Milton model, which we will learn after we learn the meta model. When you want to make sure there is no misunderstanding, then you want to be incredibly specific. And most people, in many circumstances, are not. And that's why there are arguments and misunderstandings between people. So let's see how you did on this, okay? The first question says, a man appeared after the owner had turned off his store lights. How many of you say that's true? Okay, not everybody. How many say false? Okay, how many say don't know? Okay, now we have a bulk of the room saying don't know, but we have all three answers. Okay, those of you who said don't know, what is in question? Karen?
Well, we don't know that the owner turned off the lights. We just know they opened the cash register.
Okay, wait, in the first sentence, you don't know that the owner turned off the store lights?
Right.
Who do you think turned off the store lights?
A businessman.
A businessman. Do you know if that's the owner or not? Oh, man, that's getting picky, isn't it? But it's true. The businessman and the owner could have been two different people. Oh, wow, yeah. Okay. How about number two? The robber was a man. Okay, a number of you are saying now, we don't know if there is a robbery, but when you read the story and somebody demanded money and the lights had been turned out, if you let into your filter, oh, there must have been a robbery, then you will proceed with saying, oh, the robber was a man, but we don't know there was a robbery. He could have been demanding money for almost, pay me for the donuts you bought from me yesterday.
Pay the rent.
Pay the rent.
The
it may have been the brains man. Yeah. Okay, so that one's questionable too, because we don't know if there was a robbery. And we can't say it's false because it doesn't actually state there was no robbery, but we know it's in question. How about number three? The man did not demand money. False. He did demand money. It says, a man appeared and demanded money. Now, you could question, which man are we talking about? Yes. Okay, rather than, yeah, we don't know which man, but we do know a man, but we don't know if he's the man or not. So, you notice how funny this is. How about number four? The man who opened the cash register was the owner. Wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. The man who opened the cash register was the owner. Who opened the cash register? The owner opened a cash register. What if it was a woman? I didn't hear anybody say that. Nobody had a picture of a woman as the owner. Oh, that's because in the first sentence it says a businessman, and you put that picture in your system. Oh, the owner could have been a woman? Oh, wow. And that changes your image, doesn't it? Yeah. So, okay, number five. The store owner scooped up the contents of the cash register and ran away. Question. What? So what are you questioning? We don't know who scooped it up, but there's something else in that one. And yes, this says ran away versus sped away. He could have been on a skateboard. He could have been on anything rather than running away. So both the process, the noun is in question, as well as the process, which is the verb. Y'all getting that?
And the man is also in question, because that might be the owner skated away. Have you scooped it? Or the, yeah.
The owner could have scooped up the contents and ran away himself. Yeah, I'm getting this before anybody else does.
Yeah.
Okay, number six. Someone opened the cash register.
That's true,
isn't it? They had to give us one. It says above. Someone opened the cash register. Okay, number seven. Right. And so notice what you do when things start getting in question. Then you really look at it carefully, don't you? Yeah. Number seven, after the man who demanded the money scooped up the contents of the cash register, he ran away.
Question.
Yeah, we've questioned a lot of those things at this point. Now, while the cash register contained money, the story doesn't state how much.
True.
No.
It doesn't say if there's money.
We don't know if there's
question.
Money.
It says contents.
Okay, it says contents. Oh. Okay, what do cash registers usually have in them?
Cash.
But have you seen some people put drugs in there? Some people candy, some people checks? Receipts. It doesn't actually say the cash register contained money. But most of us would make a picture of a cash register with money in it. So, yeah. The robber demanded money of the owner. Well, we don't know there was a robbery, right? And we don't know who the money was demanded of. It just says the man appeared and demanded money, but didn't say who. Okay, the story contains a series of events in which only three persons are referred to. The owner of the store, a man who demanded money, and a member of the police force. Question, we still don't know who the businessman is. So there could have been a fourth person, and it might have been a woman. That could have been it, part of the mix. Okay, the following events in the story are true. Let's look at them one at a time. Someone demanded money. True. A cash register was opened. True. Its contents were scooped up. True. And a man dashed out of the store.
No, we
don't know. Dashed and sped away. So the first three are true, but we don't know about the last one. So,
is that false or question?
It's a question mark.
But you could also say it could be a woman. That's
another. Yeah.
No, it's not a man's fault.
Yeah. And the man sped away. So how'd you do? Did anybody get all the answers right? Yeah, probably. Yes? Is there really, well, the question, those question marks are right answers. I mean, it's like we need more information before we could determine there was a right answer. Yes?
Is there a bonus for figuring out that there were actually two extra true false questions?
Oh, yeah.
Questions, yeah. Was that just sort of trying to make it extra true?
Who typed those? The owner.
Yeah, you get the bonus for whoever typed this up. This is fun to use. And because what it does is it points out how determined we are. And even after we start questioning it, some of you are still holding to those answers, and then you look and, oh, if I look back up and I really read it carefully, I determine I don't know the answers to all of these. And this is a great way for building a case for how useful the meta model, which is the language of specificity. It helps you be specific, how useful it can be in everybody's lives.